coming up on Thunder Pop.
Yes, indeed. It is episode number 29 of the Thunder Pop podcast. And I am your host, Stephen Presley. And joining me once again is, you guessed it, Mr. Reed Charles.
Oh,
I'm going to do it.
Oh, he's going to do it again.
Good night, cunts.
There. And this time you went directly to the mic, did you not?
No, I guess it bounced off the wall.
Oh. Yes, indeed, it's 29th episode of this Thunderpop podcast, whether you like it or not. You know what we have to say to you if you don't like it?
Fuck your dreams.
Fuck your dreams.
That's fucking awesome.
On this podcast.
That was like 4 years ago.
We'll go back to that here in a second, too.
Fuck your dreams.
I want to get back to that. That's the topic of fuck your dreams. But on this podcast, we're going to talk Dune.
Dune.
It started off with the legendary novel, the biggest selling sci-fi novel in the history.
Biggest.
The biggest in the history of sci-fi novels is Dune. Frank Herbert's Dune.
Mm-hmm.
Later adapted in pre-production to become a film by Alejandro Jodorowsky. Went into pre-production for 2 years. Cost millions of dollars. The Bible had Mick Jagger.
Watch it!
Had David Carradine. Orson Welles.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there.
Some of the who's who of Hollywood effects people on board to work on the film, or later on became some of the who's who of visual effects people in Hollywood. Finally took it around to Hollywood because they needed more money to finish the movie. That you can see in the documentary, Jodorowsky's Dune.
To change the young mind of all the world. Michel Sidoux said to me, I want to make a new picture with you. What do you want to do? I say, Dune. I say, yes.
And we're going to talk Dune, the 1985 movie, the David Lynch version that finally made it to screens, for better or worse. It kind of became a cult film later. Has Sting, Patrick Stewart from Star Trek The Next Generation, of course, mm-hmm. Kyle MacLachlan in it. So it's all Dune talk today. And then to end the show, those of you that know Dune, that have either seen the movie or read the book. Played the video game, know about kind of the plot, and it's kind of circled around what's known as the spice.
What is the spice?
So to end the podcast.
Got the answer for that.
We're going to go to Dune, and we're going to acquire the spice ourselves.
Uh-oh.
So are you ready to go acquire the spice?
I don't know about that, man.
Well, we're
I don't know
so
about
me and Reed
that.
Are going to put our suits on and with our little tubes that we can get air and water through.
I finally get to have blue eyes.
You get to have blue eyes. They're like the Kanye contacts. And we're going to go.
Fake as fuck.
We're going to go find the spice ourselves.
Okay, I lied.
Thunderpop! 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 Oh, Thunderpop!
Yeah, yes.
I beg of you to make him stop.
Dude, when you did that for the Star Wars one,
mm-hmm.
and you had the violin, boom.
Yes.
And it was, you know, that was fucking awesome. I like that.
Oh, I mean, a cappella.
Because you blended in the music when you did that. And I was like, whoa, that was cool.
Oh, yes. With the Rogue One music.
Yeah, the Rogue One music.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're back. And now we are joined by Johnny Lightfoot as well. Reed Charles. Myself, Stephen Presley. Yeah, we can a little mixing there.
That was good.
So Reed Charles, our resident all things nerdy.
They're all things nerdy.
Back once again.
Nerds! 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 Nerds!
Nerds! Nerds! Man, you've been here a lot lately.
I should just go ahead and move in.
We're gonna do bunk beds.
Yes! I got tuck bunk, bitch.
We'll get comic books and we'll have hot cocoa and popcorn and...
Some edibles.
Edibles. Some spice.
Oh, there you go. The real spice.
So, about a month ago, I told Reed, you know, I want to do a Dune show. I just saw Jodorowsky's Dune. I can't pronounce his name.
Jodorowsky.
Jodorowsky, but I sure know about his damn documentary.
Yeah, good documentary.
And the documentary itself was actually the top the 10. Director. It was listed among some of the top 10 movies of 2014.
3,000 drawings. I shoot the picture, point of view, movement of the camera, dialogue.
Designing the spaceships, the clothes, the whole look of his world.
The castle. Open the mouth. The spaceship came.
Frank Popovich is fucking badass. He did a real good job. Took him 3 years to do that documentary. 2011, 12, and 13.
It was filmed. You know, they had to film. Well, they filmed in America. They filmed in France.
All over the place. They're both Polish.
Yes. Now.
Right? Because they're just Polish names.
The Jodorowsky Dune. So, to explain what that is, in the 1970s, and this is going back to, I think, as far back as 1973, the film producer Arthur P. Jacobs optioned the film rights to Dune, which was based on Frank Herbert's best-selling novel that became the greatest-selling sci-fi novel in the history. It still is today.
Still is number one,
Number one, which is quite a feat considering everything that's come out since that time.
Buck Rogers, Flash Gordon.
Oh, you go back that far.
Star Wars.
You can go back. And then, the Star Wars novels that they put out over the years, many that they put out over the years, and many of those are on the top bestsellers, New York Times bestseller list, but the one and only number one.
Most
is still Dune.
Damn.
And anyway, that movie was that book was optioned for a movie. The filmmaker, film producer Arthur P. Jacobs, he optioned the film rights to Dune, but he died before the film could be developed. Okay, so the option was then taken over 2 years later by who else? Director Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Now you know you saw the documentary and how he said his friend, the French guy, was a producer. He had a lot of money. He said, I'll do any movie you want to do. What do you want to do?
Yeah.
He goes, Dune. I want to do Dune. And then so he popped on a plane and went to go. He said, okay, let's do it.
And they had, you know, he had made his first two movies. They were art films. Yeah. They were, I mean, one of them where there's a character that poops gold.
That, yeah.
And so I would love to be able to poop gold. And fart silver. I mean, I would...
Silver dust.
I just stay home and eat and then sit on a commode and or sit over a bucket and just poop gold, man. I could open my own.
This shit's gold, son.
Open my own like Kay's Jewelers.
Damn, that's crazy.
And he's like, come on over, Reed, get a gold necklace.
Thank you.
Yeah, get some gold coins.
That's called a dirty Sanchez, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna they're gonna smell like my ass. Will
now what made you start this? Why did you want to do this Dune thing?
To be honest with you. I just said, well, we got to do at least one episode that's not Star Wars.
So this kind of, because this, man, maybe this is going off subject, but man, I tell you, when I watched the documentary, remember you saying that, let's do one on Dune. And I was like, yeah. And I didn't, then I finally, you said, hey, we're doing a podcast. Oh, shit, we got to watch the documentary.
Finally, you're like, shit, yeah.
And I had been thinking about it, but after watching the documentary, I kind of felt that Jodorowsky, In my words, is the Big Bang. He is the Big Bang, the inkling, the what do you call it, the cause and effect.
Yeah,
he started something. He's because like the guy, the director calls him
a movement.
Right. He is the zero. Boom. He started the fucking shit, man. He started everything. It just expanded. And every sci-fi big film, somehow in some way, all go back to him.
For the next several decades.
Yes.
I mean, look at this here. There's some film notes from Jodorowsky's script. So he created, spent 2 years building a Bible.
Yeah, the Bible, yeah.
Shot for shot, scene for scene. He created, they call it, what is it called? The universe?
Oh, the Jodoverse.
The Jodoverse.
But yeah. No, that happened later. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, his Jodoverse came from his book series. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, talk later. About that. Yeah. That's a whole other story.
But the script that he had developed, extensive storyboards, the concept art, he had that ready to shop around to all the major film studios. But there was 2 years of that.
Yeah,
of,
man.
Of, he had his casting.
Shopping.
He had his team built. And the first guy he goes to, and by the way, if you have not seen Jodorowsky's Dune,
please go see.
Please go get it. It's on iTunes. We're talking about that Big Bang, kind of how he spawned.
He spawned, But he's not bitter about it either. That's what's interesting, because he's not mad.
Well, he should be proud. That's his legacy.
Man, he is the Big Bang. He started the whole fucking shit. And that when I saw the documentary. Mm-hmm. I went to go check out Comic Book Girl 19. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call her 19 because this is a long title.
Yeah.
I went to her YouTube Comic channel. Book Girl 19.
Very good YouTube channel.
Yeah. She did one on the actual documentary, and she is a huge fan. I watched her video on that. I didn't want to watch it until I saw the documentary first. Then I went to go watch it because I would understand what the hell she was talking about.
This is the redhead girl.
Yeah, the redhead. Real hot.
Is she the woman of your dreams?
Yeah. No, not the dreams, but yeah, she's up there. She's definitely up there.
Yeah, you like her mind.
She is a nerd. She's a nerd mind. She's beautiful.
You definitely want to sit down and swap nerdism with her.
She knows her shit.
Yeah.
And actually, I got turned on to her because I was trying to find stuff on Game of Thrones. And that's why I got turned on to her. And I was like, man, her shit is good. And I just watched all her movies and watch all her videos. Yeah.
They've done really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I recommend if you
has a robot.
Yeah, a robot. That's fucking hilarious.
I don't know who's the voice, but she's
watch the documentary, Jodorowsky's Dune, and then go check out everything from Comic Book Girl 19, everything she does on Jodorowsky, and some of her stuff is really good too. And plus, look at the director up. What was the director? Povich, right? Povich?
Yep. For the documentary.
Documentary. Frank look Povich. Him out. Look up Frank Povich
and his interviews.
And his interviews, because the stuff he talks about is really good too. It's really good stuff.
It's good stuff. So we're talking about the Big Bang and how. Jodorowsky spawned all these other movies and their influence that was made in these other movies, like, okay, just to name a few, Alien.
Just tell me one thing, Burke. You're going out there to destroy them, right? Not to study, not to bring back, but to wipe them out.
That's the plan.
Star Wars.
Fifth Element?
No big deal, yeah. Fifth Element.
Every 5,000 years.
Remove the shield.
When the three planets are in eclipse, the black hole like a door is open.
The Terminator series.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah.
So these guys, he had built this team over in pre-production in France. He had O'Bannon, Foss, Geiger, Gerard, and these guys go on later after the movie doesn't get made.
They go on do their own shit.
They go on do their own shit, and so you see the influence of Jodorowsky.
O'Bannon's interview was really good. I looked up him also.
Yeah.
One of his interviews talks about how when Jodorowsky got them all together in one giant room, gave every artist what they needed to do their stuff, and he said that what happens when you have all these artists in one big room is they all see what they're doing and they start competing, and it gets better and better and better.
That's interesting.
And so I was like, oh, that's fucking genius. And so that's the one thing he talked about. And him and Geiger wanted to go do Aliens later on. When the director had the premiere, finally, right? When he had Jodorowsky there.
Povich,
and then he had Jodorowsky had his wife between them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Povich believed that he might have had her there as like a buffer or something, right?
Yeah.
So he said every once in a while he would sneak over and look to see if he was asleep or if he fell asleep. But you know, he's still
Jodorowsky?
He would look and peek and see if he's watching the movie, basically. See if he was, still there. If he was still into it.
Uh-huh.
After they watched the movie, he says to him, he looks over and says,
Povich to Jodorowsky.
What'd you think? And then he looked over before he asked him that. And he saw he could see Jodo wiping his eyes because he had been crying.
Wow.
And he goes, he gave him a time. He goes, so what'd you think? And he goes, perfect. And
his
so
his endorsement of the film.
Yeah, his endorsement. So the only problem, the only thing, when I started thinking about more and more about this, after a couple, you know, a couple days, you know, thinking about this, yeah. I think that I don't know if Jodorowsky's film would have been successful because the seven films that he's done, are fucking wacky, and then I don't think that this his version of Dune would have been successful. I don't know. I don't know if it would have been successful. Now, the director, Pavich, talks about how he said that, imagine different parallel universes, right?
It was brilliant vision.
Brilliant vision.
Very
But as far as directing?
Innovative.
Yes. Completely original.
Completely original.
But.
And bold.
Bold. The reason why he got turned down for the money was because the stupid producer's like, well, can we change this and can we change that? And 19 talks about that.
Can we get this all in 2 hours?
Yeah, and he goes, no, we can't do this in fucking 2 hours. Because it's a 20-hour movie.
But every one of them
wanted to put their
loved it.
Yeah, they liked
it. Thought it was brilliant.
But they couldn't.
It's like, no way.
But no, they didn't. They just couldn't. They didn't understand him. Mm-hmm. They didn't. They thought he was weird.
Well, and he had these movies. The few that he had.
Yes, those are fucking wacky as fuck.
He had a movie where a guy is pooping the
Pooping the gold. Yeah. So okay, the thing about it, look, when Star Wars was being done.
Yeah.
They were looking for any excuse to pull the plug on Lucas.
Yeah, it was hard enough with that.
Right. Now, imagine if he had done...
And he already had... And Lucas, though, had some big mainstream films. The American Graffiti.
Just a few.
He had a few, but they were more mainstream than Jodorowsky.
Right, exactly.
So he had more credibility.
Right, more credibility.
With Hollywood.
Now, imagine if Jodorowsky's film had come out in 76 or 75 when it was done, and it failed. What do you think they would have done to Star Wars?
Oh,
they would have pulled the plug.
Dead in the water. That's all.
Star Wars would not have been fucking done.
Because all Hollywood has zero balls.
Because they don't trust sci-fi.
Yeah.
Now Star Trek had just been done on TV. It was a success, but it got canceled.
Canceled. Even that was canceled.
Right. So imagine if Jodorowsky had been successful in making the film,
but it bombed.
All these other things that we know, Star Wars, Battlestar Galactica, fuck, you name it, all the other aliens, everything, would have not been in our universe.
Mm-hmm.
That would have changed the nerd universe.
Probably for the not good.
Yes, for the not good, exactly.
We would have been more like Barbara Streisand, melodrama, love stories.
Yes, probably. We would have been in like Bollywood.
Would that mean we were sitting here right now doing a Bollywood podcast?
We were doing a Bollywood podcast. We'd be singing. But imagine that. That's a concept of like these parallel universes that we talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That could have been a real universe. That's scary. So maybe it's good that it failed because he's not upset about it either because he's in a way he wanted to influence the world. Mm-hmm. That's what he said.
Yeah,
and he did.
He did. He was successful.
He was successful in that. And I think to top it off, his spiritual warriors, right?
Yeah.
To top it off,
mm-hmm.
Pavich was the last one to put that word out because I didn't know anything about this until he is the one that put it back on the map as the. As closure.
Knew nothing about it myself.
Nothing about it until I saw his documentary.
I mean, I was familiar with Frank Herbert's book.
Yes, I was familiar with that.
I was familiar with the movie that was the mm-hmm. David Lynch version of Dune that we all know of from 1985.
Yeah. The sci-fi's horrible version.
The one with Sting and the subpar overacting.
The righteous! There is a Harkonnen among you.
But, of course, that not being David Lynch's fault that
movie turned out. No, I don't think it's his fault.
I don't believe it was his fault.
Producers,
Because it was the studios that swooped in and got tweaked and manipulated and prodded. And what I was telling Reed is I would love to see David Lynch recut that film the way he wanted it cut and see what he would have came up with. It probably would have been a 3-hour movie, but it would have been, I think it would have been a lot better. It wouldn't have had the weird narrative voiceovers.
Yeah, when you have narrative voiceovers, that's expedition, and that's horrible for a fucking film.
Yeah.
You should never, ever have expedition of that kind in a film. The actor should be able to act it out. If you have to explain it, spoon feed it to the audience, you're an asshole because you don't believe that the audience can fucking... Because that's shitty filming, that's shitty acting, that's shitty directing. You have to let the audience figure it out. Mm-hmm. Give them the credibility that they're smart enough to figure it out. If they can't figure it out, it's because you shot it fucked up. You fucked up by film. You directed it wrong.
Yeah, that's your It's a cop-out way to try to go back later and say, oh, let's try to fix it by putting...
By putting narration, that's fucking horseshit. And then they had
this really depressing-sounding woman doing the narration. It was kind of... It was really grating to listen to.
You want to talk about the Bibles? Like, you're talking about the
book? Yes,
the Okay, Russell now, Bible. Check this out. Mm-hmm. So, okay, I've heard it from two different sources, but these are both from the director, Frank Povich. He says that Jodorowsky has the one. Mm-hmm. When you see him, like, in the trailer... He's pulling open that big ass book and he's showing all the pictures. That's the Bible. There was about 20 of them made, he says. About 20.
Wouldn't you love to have a cop back one of those?
Fuck, I know, man.
If you can read it.
That's exactly, I know.
They're probably going to be worth a lot of money.
Yes. Jodorowsky has one. The French producer, he has the other one. And when the director did research on it, he found that somebody in Japan had bought one.
If you had a choice between one of the 20 copies of that book,
shit,
or you could have that today. Signed by Jodorowsky, fuck. Or we can finish out your collection of the Star Wars comic books.
Oh, man, you can't do that.
You get one or the other, but you can't have both today.
I don't know.
I think that's an easy answer.
Because if you got the one of the 20 Bibles, then you could sell it for fucking tens of thousands of dollars. I'd go buy all the Star Wars comic books.
Well, no, that not only that is you could always go and get those Star Wars comics later.
True, yeah, that's true.
But are you going to ever be able to get that Jodorowsky Bible?
No. So that's the thing. So the director was hoping that once the documentary comes out, that the other ones would pop up eventually. There's only 20 of them. Supposedly there's 20. That number could be 12 or 20. Who knows?
Yeah.
And only three that are known because on eBay. Jodorowsky has one. His producer has one. The French guy and somebody in Japan bought one. Now as far as
off eBay. Well, who's selling it on eBay?
Well, the thing is the person who sold it and the person who bought it, those names don't exist anymore. Their accounts have been canceled.
Canceled.
So but there is evidence that somebody in Japan has it, so that's three that we know of so far.
What do you think it went for on eBay?
Oh, he didn't say. So it's probably worth probably thousands of dollars.
Interesting.
So that was a cool thing about the whole Bible.
And once Jodorowsky dies, that value is going to go up. And is it signed?
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Breaking news up in this place.
Current news for Dune.
We've got breaking news on Dune.
Again, all my sources are from either Comic Book Girl 19, me looking at interviews on YouTube, doing a little research here and there. Frank Herbert's Dune, supposedly it was sold for about $3.5 million, and the company who bought the rights to it to make films, to make TV shows and everything like that, was a company called by Legendary Films in California, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the problem with that is that Legendary Films is owned by a Chinese company called Dalian Wanda. Now Dalian Wanda is a corporation.
We'll go with that.
The Wanda group, basically, they own Legendary Films. So in a way, basically, this Chinese company owns Dune. And that's scary. And see, Comic Book Girl 19 talked about it. She says, I don't know about the idea of some communist Chinese who are not about freedom and not about art. And you're having, and this is a, remember Herbert's stories about anti-government and anti this establishment and everything? Yeah. And here this conglomerate has the rights to it.
We're talking about Frank Herbert. And Frank Herbert was very critical of government. He was known for that. Yeah. He was critical. He was anti-communist.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting story about Frank Herbert, the original, the author of Dune the novel.
Yeah.
And the other books, because there's other Dune books. And
how many books are there? Like 10?
I think like 9 or 10. Jeez. So they're the three prequels actually written by his son.
Whoa.
That were written later. But the sequels, the original Dune, those were all Frank Herbert's that he wrote. He was still writing them up till within a few years of his death.
Mm-hmm.
So Herbert, critical of communist, he was the cousin of the controversial Republican Senator Joseph McCarthy. And he even called and referred to him as Cousin Joe.
Cousin Joe.
But anyway, despite the fact that he was cousins with him, I mean, he shared a lot of his conservative views.
Yeah.
He was very against his blacklisting of suspected communists, which was the most controversial thing about Joseph McCarthy.
I bet you some of those people were his friends, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that there was that, and he was critical. He was very untrusting of the government, let's just say that, which became kind of a thing, especially around Watergate scandal, Vietnam. There was a lot of distrust for the government and Frank Herbert. So it's interesting. Then you're talking about communism.
Yeah.
And how...
Exactly. And how you... Here he's an anti-communist.
The guy that's created...
And his son probably sold the rights to this company, Legendary, who then was bought up by Wanda.
Does his son still own...
No, because apparently Legendary Films owns the rights to it.
He sold the rights, but he didn't sell the actual...
I don't know.
The whole...
Kit and caboodle? Maybe he did.
Hmm.
For $3.5 million, that's, you know...
You know, if he needs the money, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Interesting.
No, that's pretty wild, man.
How that links all back.
Yeah, it all links back to, yeah, exactly.
Something that his dad was very much against. Another thing that apparently, you know, Frank Herbert wasn't too keen on is I don't think he was the biggest fan of rock music.
Yeah, I remember seeing it, yeah.
I mean, he had turned down one rock band that wanted to do a song and they wanted to title or name the song after a part of Dune, something out of Dune. Mm-hmm. And he had said, you know, he told them, you know, he politely declined and said he just wasn't a big fan of that kind of music, was his exact wording. And what was interesting is both David Lynch's version and the Jodorowsky version of the film...
They
wanted rock soundtrack.
Well, Jodorowsky wanted Pink Floyd.
Yeah. And then ended up being... And it's kind of funny, once Hollywood did their version of Dune, how they cherry-pick things.
Yep.
If you're shopping a Bible and it ends up on people's desk, how they may not take your concept, but they certainly like to cherry-pick ideas from it.
Yeah.
Like the idea that, you know, he had Mick Jagger cast to play a role.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So they didn't use Mick Jagger, but they're like...
Well, Mick Jagger approached him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't use Mick Jagger in the version that ended up on the screen, but they used Sting. It's like, let's use a singer, a different singer. Yeah. And then they had... they didn't have Pink Floyd do the soundtrack, but they got Toto to do the music for that.
That's fucking crazy.
Which is kind of interesting that they went with Toto. And it's kind of like they almost went with the more like subdued, lighter version. Like instead of Mick Jagger, they got Sting. Instead of Pink Floyd, they got Toto.
Yeah.
Kind of a more lighter version.
That's what I'm thinking too. Yeah.
And then they didn't have David Carradine. They did have Patrick Stewart from Star Trek: The Next Generation.
Yeah.
And of course, he was going to have his son play the lead part.
Yeah.
Paul. And the warrior and the future Duke. And he had his son. This is the part you really had. His son had to go around in the documentary. He had to go train for 2 years.
Two fucking years.
His ass kicked, basically.
You're some big tough guy, aren't you? Get your freaking eyes off me, pig. You look somewhere else. Do you understand me?
Yes, sir.
No, do you understand?
Laza La Mancha. But now, the Laza La Mancha was based on a movie that the guy that it failed, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think the movie was called Lost in the Mancha. I think it was called Don Quixote or something like that. And it's one with Johnny Depp. When Frank Povich talked about failures, he said, that even though Jodorowsky failed by not making his movie done, it didn't really fail. It did kind of fail, but the one who really failed was Lost in La Mancha documentary on that film. And that one I saw a documentary on that one. It's crazy because every possible thing that could go wrong during the filming went wrong.
Uh-huh.
Like they filmed it in Spain, and they had all you could hear like for like hours and hours, a couple days every once in a while, there'd be fucking fighter jets flying overhead. And it was like the Spanish military. And they had to fucking close down production because fucking jets are flying over. Then it fucking rained, fucking torrential rains, and flooded the whole fucking set. And they were shut down for weeks.
Shot in 2000.
Shot in 2000, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, see, what movie was it? The original movie wasn't called Lost Lemon.
It was starring Johnny Depp and Terry Gilliam.
Now, he's the one directing it. And it was just a fucking complete fucking failure, man. But it's really good documentary. I saw that years ago. It's awesome.
It was produced by Lucy Dark. Now, this is the documentary. The documentary was directed by Keith Fulton and Luis Pepe.
Yes.
But the movie that it was actually the movie you're speaking of, The Man Who Killed Don Quixote?
Yes. Quixote, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the unfinished film in 2000 that went through disaster after disaster.
Yes, yes.
It was directed by
Terry Gilliam. this was a, you know how they do behind the scenes kind of thing for films?
Mm-hmm.
This is what they were doing. They were doing a behind the scenes kind of shit, and they said, dude, why don't we just make this documentary on how we failed? And that's what ended up happening. Now, American Movie is a documentary about a film that failed too. Now, the thing about Coburn or Coven, right?
Coven is an independent.
But no, he argued. Film. It's not. How do you pronounce it?
Coven.
He said Coven. No, it's pronounced Coven.
Coven. Okay.
So they would argue about that. Now, this documentary is a good. Same thing as Lost in La Mancha. This is an American movie. These are great fucking documentaries on films that didn't make it. Now, this is how I was introduced to this film.
Interesting, yeah.
Kevin started showing me YouTube videos of Coven, mm-hmm. right? And I'm watching it. He put me through torture.
This is ridiculous. We started May 94, man. We've got every f-stop known to man in the film. And right now, we got to take
action. I watched 10 minutes of one section. 10 minutes of the next one. I was like, why are you making me watch this? No, you got to watch this. Fine, give me a drink. And I drink, and we're watching this. And then he showed me this. I go, what the fuck is this? It goes, I had to put you through this torture to appreciate this movie.
Did they finish the movie?
No.
Oh.
He never finished it, but it's on YouTube. Some pieces are YouTube. I think he did finish it, but it sucked balls.
It's horrible.
This made him all his money.
The documentary.
The documentary made his money.
It's called American Movie. The documentary.
He made his money from and then during the documentary, he keeps asking his uncle for money.
So was he filming the behind the scenes while he was making the movie?
His friends were.
Well,
and
smart.
It shows
smart.
The progress. Yeah, they were smart. But his Coven, whatever, was a horrible fucking movie, stupid as shit. But somebody, his other friends were documenting the process of this film, and this is what they came up with.
Mm.
He was homeless. He was living in his car. His wife left him. It's just fucking insane.
It's bad.
So this is a good documentary on a failed film. Lost in La Mancha is another good one. And, of course, watch a documentary about Jodorowsky's Dune is another good one, too.
So Coven... It's the movie that
Coven.
The film they were trying to make suffered from numerous setbacks.
Yes.
Poor financing, a lack of planning.
No people.
Burgeoning alcoholism.
Yes, that
ineptitude
too.
Ineptitude of the friends and family that hires the staff. He hired his family and friends to be staff for the production team.
It's fucking hilarious.
Anyway, it sounds like a great, wonderful train wreck.
Yeah, what Kevin did to me was really cool because mm-hmm. I got to see his shitty film
mm-hmm.
and like, what the fuck are you making me watch this?
So you watched some of his movie?
I watched like two, there was like three sections or four sections.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't get
Made
past
no
the
sense.
Second one.
Made no sense.
It wasn't making any sense. It was fucking stupid. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why are you making me? He goes, all right, fine. We're going documentary. The documentary. And he showed me this and I was like, this is fucking cool.
Wow.
That was the way how I was introduced to American Movie. Yeah.
You know, my former collaborator, still a good friend of mine, Derek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who worked on creating Captain Badass. And he's gone to Hollywood and tried to pitch other scripts and other projects. We had something called Dick and Willie that I worked with him on.
Dick and Willie?
And yeah. It was kinda like a live action Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, okay.
They were two redneck guys that were basically very male chauvinist pigs.
Dick and Willie, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
Dick
funny.
And Willie. But we had spent a number of years on Captain Badass, and he wanted to do, like, we even with him like a year ago, mm-hmm. he was trying to pitch doing a documentary about our struggle and behind the scenes of getting that made.
I got one story about that. Okay.
And how he wanted to get cherry picked, like, he believed, well, that Kick-Ass cherry picked a lot of our ideas.
Well, the one story I heard was Mario. He told me a story that you were filming down on 6th Street on the west side,
mm-hmm.
and he was filming.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in your Captain Badass suit.
Yeah.
And you're like, here I am, my hood, patrolling the streets, make sure the streets are safe. And then somebody out of the blue drove by and said, fuck you, Captain Badass.
Yes.
And then you didn't want to use it. I thought that was fucking hilarious. That somebody out of the blue knew who you were.
Yeah.
Saw you and just yelled that out to you in a car. He's like, yep, there's my fans. car kept on going. I was like, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, you know, I've and I remember that, the drive-by. I do, because it happened, because that wasn't the only time it happened.
Are you serious?
No, it happened
multiple times.
But then you got other, like, people yell out stuff. Like, it wasn't always "fuck you, Captain Badass."
No, "you suck, Captain Badass," I think was one of the lines.
Kept you sucking. No,
they knew who you were.
That's fucking priceless. That's fucking funny
stuff. But yeah, so Derek wanted to make a documentary about that, about the whole experience.
That would have been good.
We might still do it. It's just the time and
the Cribs. When you did Cribs, that was fucking hilarious. Cribs, those are good.
Yeah, if you ever dial up YouTube, you can check out Captain Meta's Cribs.
Those are funny.
It's still on YouTube. I think to this day, that's still the most viewed. Yeah, it's definitely the most viewed video of the Captain.
That was really well done.
Captain Meta's ever had. We had a good time. Mark probably did a good job on that. We had. You were there. Nick worked on it.
When he came out of that little door.
Came out of the little door. Yeah,
like, what the fuck?
It was a funny funny clip that we worked on.
That's fucking funny.
I still pull it up sometimes every now and watch it. It was fun with it. With the the hubcaps falling off the car and rolling down the hill.
I guess that wasn't a failed project. You just kept doing it and doing it. But it's kind of funny when you think of all these failures and this and that. You have setbacks. And like even the director, Jovich, he said, too, like, you know, every day projects die. You know, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Yep, I know.
Absolutely.
I know what that's about.
You a lot more projects die than actually are, birthed. Yeah.
You know, I think there's something to do with that, too, psychologically. I think that when you talk about, you know, Frank Herbert, he did, you know, Dune, and you think about all these other big guys that did all these big stories, and they go into so much detail as far as, like, how to tell it, they create this universe. Right. I think.
Expanded universe.
I think there's something about that. I think there's something about them. One is because I think there's nothing wrong with it, but I think the idea, maybe some of the seeds of that are that they're not happy where they're at in life. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're not, you know what I'm saying? And they said, I'm going to create this world.
Create a whole other world.
I'm going to escape and create another world where this exists, and I am the god of that world, and I'm going to create this whole thing.
And George Lucas did that. Star Wars. He created a really major, large universe, and it was all over his home, his ranch.
Yeah.
Was it Star Wars Galaxy?
See, so I think it's something to do with not having control of their own lives, their own destiny, and creating it.
Anyway,
and I think there's something to that.
What's interesting is that about the time he cut off from Star Wars, he sold Star Wars to Disney.
Oh, yeah.
He also got married. And he had not been married, George Lucas. He had not been married that for like that entire. He had some adopted.
We had a son.
He had some adopted.
No, is he? Is that his blood son?
Might be adopted. I know he had a daughter that was adopted. He may have also his son may have also been adopted. But he's
never spawned.
I don't think he had spawned young Jedi younglings.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, but he has gotten married now. Mm-hmm. He got married right around the same time.
$4 billion. Yeah. $4 billion.
And I'm wondering if that had some influence on him finally saying, it's time for me to part ways from this world that I was the king of. And he started to start living a little bit.
I think somebody explained that it was either him or somebody else said, in a way, for him, Star Wars was his child, obviously, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, Star Wars 4, 5, and 6 was kind of like the, you know, elementary, junior high, and high school. And then... You know, episode 1, 2, and 3 were kind of like the kids going to college.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually him selling is like, okay, kids out of college now. I just got to let it go. And hopefully someone else takes over, does a good job with it. Mm-hmm. And so he has to let it go. And I think in a way, that's the way I see it as for George Lucas. It's hard for him to let go because this work is his child in a way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so like, you know, okay, go out there. Don't get in an accident. Don't smoke too much pot. You know, that kind of shit. You know, go out there and don't get drunk. Be careful, that kind of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really hard for him to let go. Yeah, and that's totally understandable.
And he's quieted down now. He was like the first year, he was still kind of coming back and talking shit.
I'm there with him talking shit about episode 7 too. But him saying like, it was good.
It was announced, the new title for episode 8. You know this?
What are your thoughts on that? Oh, let me hear.
It's The Last Jedi, episode 8.
Oh, man. What the fuck does that mean?
So
now, did you notice the colors? Right?
Yeah, they're red instead of green on the letters.
Red, green. I thought it was always gold.
No, well, gold. Yeah, red instead of gold. You're right. Red instead of gold.
That kind of like darker times.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because when I think I see red, I think of more evil.
Lightsaber.
The lightsaber is
Sith.
Red. Sith is the color red.
Red. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I, when I see gold, I think of more like heroic.
Yes. The royalty.
Light side of the force.
Yeah. Never exactly. Tarnishing. But yeah, the red color of Star Wars really got my attention. Like, oh. Yeah. And then plus the words itself, The Last Jedi. Now, I've heard a bunch of, it's all speculation, but I think the one that makes the most sense is that when you watch the movie, like, I got this from a YouTube video. I forget who it was. They basically talk about The Last Samurai from Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Now, Tom Cruise wasn't The Last Samurai. We know that.
Right.
It was the Japanese actor that was The Last Samurai. And plus his crew, those were The Last Samurai, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and so in a way, maybe the Last Jedi is plural. It's not singular.
Mm-hmm. And that was good. That's actually going to come up here in a little bit on Agree or Disagree.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So, yeah, you might want to hold off because you might have your take can be used there, possibly. Mm-hmm. I see where you're going with that. So, very interesting. Very interesting. You were talking about updates on Dune.
Yeah. So you had some newer updates in mind.
Yeah. So, this one, Denis Villeneuve, he has been selected to direct the new Dune.
Mm.
Okay. Frank Herbert's epic science fiction classic Dune has long been viewed as unadaptable. And this is something, you know, I was going to talk about this.
What does that mean?
We talked about how, you were talking about how Jodorowsky, if his Dune had been made, it would have changed the course of sci-fi films for decades. It may have meant that Star Wars
would have made it worse. I think it might have been worse.
In some ways, it might have made things worse in a weird way. Because if it had flopped, which very easily, you know, they don't tell you that this movie would have had to be a 14-hour film. And I think after seeing Dune, the 1985 version, and how they tried to cram all that in 2 hours and how awful that was, and how it was just skipping around from place to place.
It's like pooping in your pants.
Yeah,
it's not a good idea.
It's messy. No, it's not a good idea. It's not a good idea to poop your pants.
Mm-mm.
No. Or they've tried to cram it into a 2-hour window.
Mm-hmm.
Jodorowsky tried to do it the right way. And it wasn't going to work back in the 70s making a 14-hour film. It's not going to work now making a 14-hour film.
He was doing a Game of Thrones idea.
That's why I think now they're going the wrong way if they're thinking about making this into a film. I think this is a saga, and I think it needs to be like Game of Thrones. It should be more like an HBO-type TV series.
Well, is there any indication on this interview saying that they want to do multiple films or just one stupid film?
Now, I do know that they tried a sci-fi miniseries on Sci-Fi Channel, but that doesn't even count.
No, it doesn't count.
Low budget, cheap. We could have made that with construction paper.
They know precisely where we are and what we can do.
What is this more deep I'm curious about?
Such a beautiful boy.
You're starting something you're going to regret.
Put some spice in each one and send them to the Baron on Gedi Prime.
Those are the same guys who are doing Battlestar Galactica and Stargate Atlantis and SG-1 and Universe. Universe is good. Universe was the best.
But some concepts in that budget, they're trying to make that, you know, you need more of an HBO kind of Game of Thrones budget.
You need that.
If you got this, it took this to HBO and made a saga series out of it, like Game of Thrones, out of Dune. Bill. With all the books they've got?
Money.
There you go.
Beady, beady, beady.
Easy. But here it is. Classic Dune has been long viewed as unadaptable, but not for lack of trying. The 2013 documentary Jodorowsky's Dune recalls the Chilean-French director's failed attempt in the 1970s. Though it remains influential for its vision, David Lynch's Toto soundtrack version was widely panned in 1984, though it comforts with several of Lynch's consistent casting choices, like Kyle MacLachlan, who, by the way, had the best hair in cinema history in that movie.
Yeah, that was pretty classy hair.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Everett
sexy, very sexy.
And then also, not to mention Patrick Stewart in a mullet. If you want to see Patrick Stewart from Star Trek Next Generation in a mullet, you should watch Dune.
Yeah, he went from there straight to the Stargazer.
Yeah, right away, right to, exactly.
Stargazer, yeah.
And then, so you see that, and then also Alicia Witt, and of course the wonderfully overblown Sting, somewhat rescued as a cult classic, Lynch's Dune suffered from development in the blockbuster era. So anyway, now hot off the success of Arrival, based on another difficult to adapt source, which, by the way, Arrival, probably one of my favorite movies of 2016.
Arrival?
2016.
Oh, god damn, that's good.
Great movie.
Dude, that was emotional.
Actually, probably my top film from last year.
Yes.
I'm going to have to say it's my top
film. It was very emotional for me. I got emotional. I was like, fuck, that's awesome.
Very well done. Apparently, that was also a very hard to adapt source material.
Well, who's the motherfucker who did that? Because you know what that was? That's right there in the brain, dude. Mm-hmm. That was letting the audience, giving the audience the credibility to, come on, the audience is smarter than you think. That was Arrival was emotional. Mm-hmm. I just saw it a couple of nights ago, and I'm like, God damn, that was a fucking good movie.
Really good movie. So Denis Villeneuve is the latest director tapped to bring Dune to the screen. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the news comes a month after Variety reported that the rights of Herbert Saga, which is you're talking about, mm-hmm. has been acquired by the communist in China. Anyway, Legendary Pictures, a studio with a track record for rebooting franchises, and they rebooted The Dark Knight.
What?
Yes, that's what it says here. The franchise that they rebooted franchises such as The Dark Knight. That was a Legendary Pictures.
Holy fuck.
So Villeneuve himself is rebooting Blade Runner with an upcoming sequel, Blade Runner 2049. So this is where we're going to find out if this is going to work. If he pulls off Blade Runner 2049 and that
turns, then we'll see if he does a good job with this.
Then we'll know if Dune's going to work.
Okay.
If he makes Blade Runner 2049, I want to see first Blade Runner.
Now, 2049 Blade Runner is not a reimagining.
It's a sequel.
That's cool.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a sequel, and I believe that you'd call it a sequel reboot because it's trying to reboot the series.
Yeah. It's an episode done like 30 years later.
It's a sequel reboot.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Not just a reboot. Which I think is the right way to go. I don't think people wanted to see a remake of
Blade Runner. No, we don't want to see fucking Spider-Man's uncle get killed every goddamn fucking movie.
And this, you know, and I'm fine with them remaking and trying to redo Dune. Mm-hmm. This is how I feel. I believe I hate it when they remake good movies that were already good or great. There's no need
to remake. Total Recall.
There's no need to remake them. Yeah, exactly. Like Total Recall. But bad movies, I want to see remade. Yeah. That's the ones you have opportunities to make better. And so Dune kind of...
Yeah, it deserved better.
It deserved better? I'm all for it.
Okay, we were talking about that. How Jodorowsky was being dragged by his kids to go see the movie.
Yeah.
He was like, didn't want to watch it. And then he got happy and he goes, because it fucking sucked.
Yes.
And he went, this is excellent. This movie fucking sucked. So he was happy.
He was very pleased.
He was very pleased.
I know movie. How he feels. Because when the second Kick-Ass movie flopped, and it got really panned by the critics, and even Jim Carrey, who was in the movie, was dogging on it. I was kind of had that same feeling. Like,
yeah, bitch, take that.
Take that, bitch. Villeneuve's Dune is a success on par with recent franchises. We may be set up for an event. So they said if it's successful, it could be like an Avengers-esque schedule of films in the coming years.
Man.
So
you mean a continuation? More? See? Yeah, okay, yeah. There you go. Now it's a saga.
There's all those books. They've got all these books. So they said that if they did a continuity where there's several of them, they could help with the uneven storytelling in the books. The prequels aren't as good as Dune. The prequels to Dune.
The books. Check out the books. His son wrote.
Yeah. So now Moby, he's a huge sci-fi geek, and he told the National Post earlier this year that the prequels aren't as good as the original Dune. But then again, he said Frank Herbert's sequels. By the time you get to the Chapter House Dune, that's this one of the sequels, he said you don't even have an idea what the hell is going on.
Oh. The body politic, and that's talked about in the Dune Encyclopedia.
Yeah.
Which is fucking ridiculous details. Crazy.
And what's it called?
Dune Encyclopedia. And basically, the Dune Encyclopedia is supposed to be a book that is written in that universe.
Wow.
And that's what 19 talked about. Comic Book Girl 19 talked about.
Yeah.
I couldn't find that video again because she talked about it. I was like, oh, that's amazing. But you know, this is what kind of inspired me a little bit too. It was a few things, but when she talked about the Hazaret Cataract, I started thinking about, or the Leopard Ward, I started thinking about it too. I started thinking like, you know, this backstory, history. And then, of course, you have...
And Leopard Wars is Reed's project.
That's dead. Yeah, the coma still. But I have P-Funk, you know, making me a boat right now.
Your project's not dead. You've just been... It's been kind of idle.
It's not idle, yeah. It's a slow process. Yeah. But, you know...
Well, you're doing something very ambitious.
Yeah.
He's making a movie that's heavily reliant on props.
Yeah, I got to do props. And it's puppets, yeah. I gotta do props and puppets. That's always gonna work. I've filmed some scenes already, but you know what's weird? I'm getting a lot of views on YouTube. Not on YouTube, but on Facebook.
Well, the visuals.
People are checking it out.
Visuals are interesting to people.
They're
checking in. They're curious.
It's really. I think the Jodorowsky got these artists, these spiritual warriors. He called them right. He gave him so much encouragement.
That's what he called his crew on his film.
He trusted them to go ahead and do their own thing, and that I already had that. I kind of like, yeah. Well, every time I had an artist work for me, I'm gonna do the armor, mm-hmm. or P-Funk could do the mm-hmm. boat, or my sister to do designs for me.
You felt like that was kind of what you had going.
Yeah, let them go. Let them do their thing mm-hmm. and come back. I go, let's adjust a little bit. Okay, you're good. We're good. We're perfect. We're mm-hmm. good. The flags, you name it, the emperor's mm-hmm. fucking jacket that I had this lady make. Who mm-hmm. her name was Linda Carter.
Yes,
that's her name, Linda Carter.
Good old Linda Carter.
She designed, you know, wedding dresses. She designed your
not the Wonder Woman.
She is a Wonder Woman.
But she is a Wonder Woman.
But she designed the emperor's jacket, mm-hmm. which was goddamn, it's gorgeous.
Very talented.
She did a real good job.
She does a good job. Yeah. I think she really enjoyed it too.
Yeah, she did.
Working on it. Yeah,
I had a lot of fun working with her.
Very, very talented. She's a funny lady.
Yeah, she is. She's cool.
Yeah. So I'll have to ask you a question about her off the audio. I don't want to. No. So anyway, yeah, that's that. They're going to give it another role. They're going to go for it and do it again.
Well, hopefully they don't fuck it up, man.
No, they said on screen, but they didn't specify if that meant on the small screen or on the big screen. So maybe
TV, you know, TV version.
They could go. Maybe they'll go that route. We'll see. Maybe.
Well, you know, like the other show too, Expanse. Holy shit!
Expanse is on Sci-Fi.
Yes, that is a very good show too. Very good. That right there. When I saw the Expanse, I went right through it. I couldn't get enough. And to me, Expanse was okay. This is the most accurate of what we're going to be like in the future. That's what I saw when I saw that.
Now, Expanse, for geeks, it was one of the most... It was 11 most anticipated new seasons in 2016.
Yes, man. I was waiting for episode 2.
For sci-fi TV shows.
Shit, it's good.
And fantasy.
That's better than Battlestar Galactica. Suck on that.
And that's saying a lot.
Yes. And better than any... I hate to say it, but any Stargate suit... You know, Stargate Universe was fucking badass.
Uh-huh.
Because Stargate Universe made the other Stargates look like cartoons to me.
Yeah. Yeah,
this
but still tops it.
This tops Stargate Universe. I really like Expanse. So much fucking detail.
Mm-hmm.
They had real scientists working. They had astronauts. They had people as advisors on this show. It was really really interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, really good show.
We're gonna take a brief break. We're gonna do a couple of things.
Uh oh.
And then me and Reed are gonna head out on a mission to find the spice.
Russell has called a big one. Again, it is the legend.
Spice, 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 spice.
Spice, spice, spice,
spice.
Spice,
spice, spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice,
spice.
Spice. Okay, we have arrived. Me and Reed Charles are not on the planet, but we're in a really well-known bookstore called Brave New Books, and we're going to talk to John Bush about the spice. But actually, it's called Kratom. So John Bush runs Brave New Books with his wife, and at their store, they sell Kratom. And they've been running the bookstore now for about 2 years, right?
Uh-huh.
And they've done a really good job of kind of reinventing the store, kind of keeping the vibe that the store had from the get-go, but then in other ways, they've sort of taken it up two or three other levels, in my opinion. And now they've been big behind the activism of Kratom. Now, y'all were talking about that just a little bit ago, how the DEA tried to put this on the list to be banned, correct?
Yeah, they tried to add it to Schedule 1 along with heroin and LSD and cannabis of all things, which would have made it a federal felony to possess.
Yeah, pretty serious. And it's illegal in, I guess, 5, 6, 7 states?
6 states, yes, yeah. Unfortunately.
Alabama, I think, was one of them I saw on the list.
Uh-huh.
A lot of things are illegal in Alabama, though.
Yeah, avoid that state.
I think oral sex is illegal, too.
Huh?
I think oral sex is illegal.
Oh, bummer.
Too.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, which is ironic considering other things that they get away with over there.
Kratom. Can't live without them.
Yeah. No, you can't. Can't live without them. So, Kratom. Now, so, let me, you know, there's been some
breakthroughs with legalization of marijuana in some states, and this starting with medicinal, and then marijuana has become legal across the board in some of the states. Like I think Colorado, it's completely legal now, and it's been a huge boost in their economy.
Good,
it's a good thing. Oregon, California, I think California now it's completely legal. They passed it, make it completely. Of course, they still have the federal restrictions that kind of hanging over the states. So you compare medicinally the advances that marijuana has done for people in terms of pain, in terms of mental health. How would you compare kratom to that in terms of the medicinal advantages?
Sure. There's two different types of kratom. There's the red leaves and red veins strains, and then there's green, white, yellow, and some Meng Da strains.
Mm-hmm.
And the red ones are primarily used for pain management and relaxation, and they also have more of a sedative feel. And the other ones, the green, white, yellow, those tend to have more of an energetic, stimulating mm-hmm. thing. So people use the energetic, stimulating ones for energy, anti-anxiety,
mm-hmm.
Also mental focus, which is why I use it for stress. And
I could use that.
It sharpens mental focus.
Which ones are those? The ones you're mentioning now?
It tends to have a motivating effect too. This Meng Da is a green one, and this Yellow Awakening is one of the yellow strains.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have some Green Dragon I could bust out. You could tell the different colors. The OG Bally is one of the red leaves.
Yeah.
This one has a darker color. And Red Relaxation is a blend of two red ones that we put together. And so a good chunk of our customers use kratom in lieu of opiate prescription painkillers.
Yeah.
And we have a customer in California that was addicted to Percocet for 9 years. And she watches her 5 grandchildren, and she wasn't able to keep up with them, and she would feel kind of jacked up. So she tried to quit the Percocet on her own, and she ended up in the hospital because the withdrawal symptoms were so severe. Mm-hmm. And then later on, she found kratom, and she was able to kick the Percocet completely within 4 days with very minimal withdrawal symptoms. So that's a really good story, and it also underscores the reason why the government would want it to be illegal, because it's such a direct competition to Big Pharma. Still, other people use it to help with withdrawal from things like heroin, or people that are using prescription painkillers recreationally and are having trouble with that. So, you know, we do have some customers, and there's some people that use kratom that you could tell they are addicted to kratom, and there's like a dependency relationship. But in my opinion, it's preferable for people to be addicted to a plant than it would be to be addicted to something like heroin, which you can easily die from and overdose and get bad stuff. It would, as far as I know, nobody's died from taking too much kratom. There have been people that have died that have had kratom in their system, but they also had stuff like heroin in their system.
Combining it with
everything. And it's highly unlikely that kratom was the
sole cause. But withdrawals from heroin and withdrawals from the heavier drugs that are much more deadly. These withdrawals here are nowhere deadly. It's like taking drinking coffee every day. I have to drink coffee, I'll get a headache.
Yes, that's, so this I liken is, it to that. It is a member of the coffee family, and people develop a dependence on caffeine, and if they don't have it, my wife, for example, if she doesn't have caffeine, she gets migraines.
I get a headache. A small headache is what I'll get.
Same here.
So this is kind of that same kit where if you don't eat this or drink this or whatever, you'll just get a mild headache. You won't go through serious withdrawals.
It'll probably be more serious than going off of coffee. You know, there could be some body shakiness, irritability, but nothing like
to heroin,
convulsing in the corner. But you know, it's different strokes for different folks. It's it's not. There is science behind it, but it's not like a very black and white thing. It's different biochemistry, different places, different dietary habits. But you know, as I said, there are people that develop a major dependence for it, and they take it every day. But at the end of the day, I think addiction is more of a personal thing, and it's less about the substance and more about the person and something that they're hiding from or running from. They use the substances in order to avoid dealing with those core issues, and it all comes down to personal responsibility. So you could use kratom or coffee or pot as a tool and reap benefits while also being responsible and not getting yourself in a dependency pickle?
That was the next question I was going to ask him, but you already, you just, right there.
You can become addicted to sugar and have a dependency on having to have
sex,
a dessert. Yeah.
Video games, pornography, you know, it's all on the personal responsibility side. And we take caution because we advertise it to students and we advertise it as an alternative to Adderall, which a lot of students take, and it has more of a
focus.
It's kind of like meth almost. But it's more natural. But we always share with people, you know, to use it responsibly, to start with a small dose, and to take, if it's something that you add to your lifestyle and you enjoy taking daily, to be sure that you take several days off of it at a time to make sure that you're not developing a dependency.
And I guarantee when you go to, say, Lamb's Candies and buy a bag of candy, they don't urge you to use it responsibly.
Yeah, they don't do that.
They'll say, come back and get some more.
So this really is the real spice here.
Yeah, it's in some ways, we were talking about the movie Dune and spice, and this may be the real spice in some ways. It's interesting. I search engined Kratom in the news category, and John comes up like the fourth clip.
All right.
Good. You're top of the...
Now we're talking.
So that's just to go to show you how important they've been behind the movement of Kratom. I mean, do you know of any other place like your store where you in the country where someone could walk in and it's like a Kratom bar?
There are places like Kava bars that also serve Kratom drinks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But we're definitely the only one here in Austin. And yeah, that's something that we kind of innovated. We started serving these different types of shots, whether it's Kava, Chlorello, which has a detox effect, or Kratom, which is our most popular. We actually got visited by the health department, and they wanted to regulate us and insist that we apply for this permit. Costs hundreds of dollars. You got to pay for all these inspections. And so I pulled a classic show me the law, like many people do with the income tax. And they were like, derp. They couldn't really say anything. Mm-hmm. So they said, we'll get back to you. And then they emailed me some workbook page from the state of Texas, and they still didn't show me the law that says I'm required to come under their authority and what that entailed. So I went and researched it myself and found that if an establishment offers only prepackaged food, then they don't come under the regulatory authority of the City of Austin Health Department. So that's why we switched from an open cup to these little cool shot glasses here.
Yeah, there you go.
For the listening audience, it's a glass, small like mason jar with a little sealable lid.
Yeah.
So now we offer only prepackaged food, and as far as I'm concerned, the city can shove it.
Good for you, man. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. But and we give these to our customers, too. So they come in, we mix up a shot, we give them this little prepackaged thing, and it has our little logo on it, and then they could take it home, and they can use it as a little Kratom mixer on the go.
Oh, that's nice. It's a little handy bottle. It's a glass bottle.
It's reusable, too. Yeah,
yeah, it's reusable. Or someone could wash it out and store their butt in it or something.
It looks like a mini-me mason jar with a little lock on the top.
That's pretty cool.
I see a sign behind John that says oxygen shot. Is that something different, right? Is that under the category, or is it
different? It's these little condensed oxygen cans, and we let people take a pull from it or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically condensed oxygen, so it helps to bring blood to your brain.
Yeah.
And some people feel like a mild rush of energy.
Absolutely. Well, oxygen, if you read books on health, like good books on health, we all know that oxygen is like everything. In terms of like, if you don't have enough oxygen, you're...
If you're not sleeping properly.
It's critical.
It's a big one. It's a big one, yeah. If you're only going to have time to check off like three or four things off the list, that's one
that
needs...
that one, water.
Yeah, you need to get that one pretty...
Shelter's next. There.
Pretty quick. So I want to try a shot.
Okay.
I'm gonna be driving home, so... I think you mentioned a mental alertness, and I want to be able to combat anxiety at the same time. Is there what would you recommend combination?
Meng Da is a good overall strain for mental alertness and anti-anxiety.
Yeah.
None of these are for tripping.
No,
These are for basically your body.
They're non-psychoactive.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
However, there was one time when I had had a good chunk of Kratom, and then towards the end of the day, I wanted an extra boost because I was finishing up my taxes, of all things. Yeah. And we had just got some in, and the previous package that we got from the same person, the same strain, it was just kind of really mild. So I took 2 teaspoons, and I usually only take 1, and it was intense. It was one of the few times that I kind of had too much, and I felt a little nauseous and just kind of a little overwhelmed. So I laid down and did some breathing exercises, and that, like after 10 or 15 minutes, I was in a different, it must be like the sedative state that you can take yourself with this. And I just laid on the couch literally for 2 hours, and I had like a inward introspection, and I was like remembering stuff from my childhood and stuff.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't like hallucinogenic or like LSD or mushrooms in the least, but it was a introverted kind of sedated experience. It's not what I use Kratom for, but it was kind of cool to have that experience. So if there's people that are looking for like a next level kind of sedated, I don't know if it would be similar to opium or whatever, you can use it like that. It's very versatile. I'd usually just keep it in the range of one teaspoon, and that gets you feeling sharp, feeling good, lasts like 3 or 4 hours.
So that was a happy accident there.
Yeah, it was cool. I wasn't able to work on my taxes anymore. It was like 1 a.m. I probably needed a break anyway.
Should have just draw a big happy face on him.
There you go.
Send it off like F that. You. Sign it and send it off.
Kratom, bitches.
Yeah, exactly. It could have been your fill out with that in there in the line.
Man, this is really cool.
It's cool because you could take a small amount. It has a stimulating effect. And you could take a larger amount and kind of lay down and relax for a while if you're feeling really overwhelmed by life or something.
Mm.
But it's a great tool.
Can you talk about how much it will cost?
Yeah, we sell the shots for $5. And you get to keep the...
Is this the size of a shot?
We just put like a little less than a teaspoon.
Yeah.
Because if it helps for focusing, I'm doing genealogy and stuff, and I'm trying to do like, you know, look at records, and I need to focus and kind of think outside the box to connect, you know, names, surnames with autosomal DNA testing. And so that to be able to figure that out, to have to concentrate a lot to figure that shit out.
You're gonna try a shot. I'll get you a shot.
Yeah,
okay. You get one. We'll do the same one. Cool. Try the same thing.
Okay. We'll get some here.
Yeah.
We have artists focus, use it for creativity.
Whoa.
This one guy said that he uses it because it kind of lowers his inhibitions, and he's able to just
open
freely
up,
flow through it instead of like questioning himself.
Doubting there, yeah. It takes away doubt. Oh, that's pretty cool.
It's cool. Yeah, it has like a motivating effect too, and it can help to change your state of mind. So if you're feeling like depressed or like things aren't working out for me, you take some and it kind of changes the way that you look at the world and yourself.
John said earlier that the statement, show me the law.
Yeah, show me the law.
That would be a good t-shirt maybe to sell in your shop.
Yeah.
A t-shirt.
Now we're talking.
Oh, I mean, it's a I got you world.
Yeah.
People love to say, I got you.
Slave on slave violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you mix to make the shot, you just mix it with water?
Yep.
Out of your water filter?
Yep. Fluoride-free water.
Mm-hmm. And then you kind of shake it up.
See, that's
shake
it.
Shake it up, mix it up. For goodness
sake. Now, should we drink this all at once, or should we drink half and save the rest?
Why the hell not?
Just drink it all?
Yeah, drink it all at once.
Drink it all at once.
Will this give us blue eyes?
Nope.
Like spice? No.
This is...
Can we use it as a fuel source?
No.
Can't power our light engines?
No.
Faster than light engines? No.
Now, the original novel, Dune, is actually the number one selling sci-fi novel of all time.
Wow.
And the guy that wrote it was actually very distrusting of government.
That was surprising. Anti-communist.
Yeah.
Very suspicious of the government.
Very suspicious of the government. I'd say libertarian leaning.
Yeah, that if it wasn't, I would say that too, because we're talking about
it. Now the rights to Dune, because he passed away, I think his son must have had the rights to it. They sold the rights for the time being.
Legendary Films.
To Legendary Films, which you said was owned by a company in China.
Wong Media.
Which is very ironic.
Yeah, I know.
Because you know, you think China, you think communism.
Well, yeah. Wanda.
All right, here's 2 shots.
Oh, here goes.
A little less than a teaspoon and some water of Meng Da.
I do like the jars. They're really cool.
I like them too.
I'll take a picture of this and put that on there.
City of Austin for that.
Is it kind of like wheatgrass or different?
It's like bitter, not good wheatgrass.
I drink a lot of bitter. I drink bitter yerba mate. Would it be kind of like that bitter tea?
Yeah, it's more bitter.
Shots down, people.
Mmm.
his own.
Everybody! It's not as bitter as I expect. In fact, I find wheatgrass a lot more difficult to consume.
Yeah, this is
consume.
A lot smoother than wheatgrass.
I have nightmares sometimes about the taste of wheatgrass. So me and Reed Charles have now consumed our shots, and
we're tripping balls.
We're tripping balls.
Tripping balls. Are my eyes turning blue? Are my eyes turning blue? Wow, that's pretty cool. Best of luck, man. Keep it up.
Thanks. It's doing well for our revenue, the creative sales.
I'm gonna tell my brother I met you. I'm jealous.
This is good stuff. I'm feeling a little, you know. After effect, it's a little
boost. Yeah, it comes on in like 10 minutes, 15 minutes.
It's when we really start to feel it.
Uh-huh.
All right. You ready for that?
I don't know, man.
It's a cool thing.
Can you handle it?
I hope so.
It's relatively mild. It's uh-huh. like a background thing.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you take a lot of it.
Thanks for joining
nice
us on Thunder Pop.
Thanks for coming.
John Bush, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Kratom, you can get it at his store, and they can also, people that are not in Austin, they can dial you up and order.
Yeah, you can go to bravekratom.com, bravekratom.com, and we have a bunch of different kinds. You could buy 1 ounce, you could buy a full kilo, and we also started selling CBD recently.
Yeah, I meant to ask you about the CBD. That, you tell me just a little bit about CBD.
Yeah, CBD comes from, the CBD we sell comes from the hemp plant.
Yeah.
And it is really good for inflammation mm-hmm. and pain. And it also has an anti-anxiety effect. People use it for help with insomnia and people that have trouble sleeping.
Well, I have trouble with sleeping, so
yeah,
it could
it
be
works,
beneficial.
It's really strong, and people generally can feel it right away. We started carrying it after my wife started taking it.
Mm-hmm.
She got bit by a brown recluse
that's 10
months ago. And she's been having inflammation and back pain and stuff. And it was so bad for like 3 days. She felt like she had a pinched nerve and she was kind of grounded. And we took some of the CBD. And mm-hmm. literally 15 minutes later, she was back to her old self.
Amazing.
And has been ever since.
Damn.
The shit is getting real. Oh, yes, things getting serious. Dude, did you hear what I said? The shit just got real.
All right, and I'm back from my trip and my hallucination and my trip. Literally tripped. Okay. All right, we're going to close it out with a little agree or disagree and then thoughts and advice for that bootay. All right, Reed Charles, here goes. Agree or disagree? The new, we were talking about this earlier, the new Star Wars, I'm still tripping, so if I sound a little funny, the new Star Wars Episode 8 title, The Last Jedi, is potentially giving away too much of the plot of the next installment of the Skywalker saga. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
Oh, man. I would have to disagree.
Mm-hmm. So you had a theory, you were talking about this earlier,
well,
on The Last Jedi.
Yeah, there's...
Because there's already people fighting on social media saying...
Oh, speculation. All
last,
fucking speculation.
The Last Jedi is Rey. It's not Luke. No, The Last Jedi's got to be Luke.
Yeah, this nerd fucking slapped... Well, yeah, it's all speculation. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
Because all the girls are saying it's Rey. All the guys say it's Luke.
Well, that tells me that it's... Well, I don't know. What does that mean exactly, right?
Yeah. You were comparing it to Last Samurai.
Well, okay, Last Samurai...
would literal.
Yeah, Tom Cruise did that Last Samurai, and of course, Tom Cruise was not the fucking Last Samurai.
Right.
It was the Japanese actor. I apologize. I don't know his name. So he was the Last Samurai, and his crew were the Last Samurai, and they died off, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of, like, the Last Jedi... Now, the Last Jedi doesn't mean one person. It could be plural. It could be more than one. Like deer, that kind of thing. Yeah. So if the Last Jedi... could be the class, it could be him, it could be Rey, it could be not just one individual, but maybe a group of them that are the Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably what it means. And so when you some nerd did a meme, was really cool. They actually got the title, the, you know, Star Wars this, Star Wars that.
I think it should have been called Star Wars Fuck Your Dreams, Episode 8.
Fuck Your Dreams.
If it's not a good movie, it's going to be Fuck Your Dreams.
But somebody had a thing where, like, you know, Episode 1 was Star Wars was the Phantom Menace. And it showed that Palpatine was the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
The second episode, what's that? Star Wars 2?
Clone Wars.
Okay.
That was the Fuck Your Dreams movie.
That was the Jango Fett was the clone.
Yeah.
And then, of course, New Hope, I forget the third one, but the New Hope was Luke was the New Hope. Empire Strikes Back was Vader is the Empire Striking Back. That kind of thing. So this nerd had this really cool meme of all of what these titles meant. And so when you look at the Force Awakening, is when the awakening happened for Rey. And Rey is not even her real name. As far as the character's name, Rey is not her name. We talked about that last time, that some nerd went on and saw the basic Republic that's written on the helmet that she's wearing when she's eating, when the adept she's using in the house. That says Rey on the helmet. That's not her name. It's the helmet
that she has
that said Rey.
She acquired.
She acquired, right. So Rey is not her real name. The helmet's, the owner of that previous helmet is Rey. That's who that is.
She just kind of became
Her that became her name, right? Because she didn't know her fucking name. And I think her name. Yeah, I think it's Skywalker. That's what I think it is.
So you go with, you prescribe the theory that she's a Skywalker.
Because the episode,
Luke's daughter?
Yes. Because the first one's about the Vader or Anakin. Next one's about his son.
That means Luke, like his father, though, betrayed the Jedi oath to
have a relationship. So then the next one's about his daughter. So it's you know, grandpa, dad, and daughter.
Well, in the comic books, he had a lover, Luke Skywalker.
Mary Jade, yes.
Yeah. So
and she was an assassin for the Emperor.
So do you think they might adapt that? They cherry picked
other ones? Well, they already took, you know, they're going to cherry pick what they want from the EU to bring into the Star Wars, which is, I'm okay with. That's fine.
And that could be Rey's mom.
That's when, somebody, because that's, I think that's what that means, that the Last Jedi means it's her and him, it's them, you know.
And she's not a Solo, she's not a Kenobi.
But she's definitely a cousin.
It makes sense that she'd be a Skywalker.
I think she is.
It always made the most sense to me that she'd be a Skywalker because this saga is supposed to be about the Skywalkers.
It follows the father, it goes to the son, now it goes to the granddaughter.
Yeah, it would just be the natural transition.
It's the Skywalker family.
You're keeping on with the Skywalker lineage.
But the only thing that sucks is because it ends with her, so every time she has a baby, it's not going to be a Skywalker, it's going to be a whatever.
Right.
So the Skywalker line dies, basically.
Unless she goes modern and keeps her last name and then names the kid the last name. Well, we'll see. Have you seen people on social media that have the theory that there's going to be a swap out where Kylo Ren's going to go to the light side of the Force and Rey is going to go to the dark side of the Force? They've even had they've even created their own fan art where she's now in like a dark side.
But see, that's a lot of speculation. I don't want to dive into that.
It really goes far over.
I disagree. The title is revealing too much. I disagree with that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, number two, in May of 2016, Marvel Comics rocked the Marvel Universe when it was revealed in the current comic series that follow the adventures of Steven Rogers, a.k.a. Captain America, that Captain America had actually been a double agent with Hydra all of this time.
Yeah.
So, but then about a month later, they backtracked in the story and they introduced a storyline that revealed that it was never true. He never was a double agent with Hydra. So some have accused Marvel of, by changing course, that they were making a major cop-out. Do you agree or disagree with this? So the theory is that They came up with this wonderful storyline where it was revealed that Captain America had been a double agent all these years.
For Hydra?
For Hydra. And they had I saw the artwork where he's in a Hydra version of the Captain America costume.
Nice.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then, a month later, they totally backtracked and they worked it in the storyline where they said, no, it was never really true. It was all a fraud. It was all fake news.
Oh, wow.
But a lot of people think they copped out because they got so much
flack from the fans
that they backed out of it. They tried to get it easy out. Do you think that's a cop out? Do you agree with that?
I agree. Yeah. I think it's that. I think
instead of following through with it.
Because we all know, like in the 80s and 90s, or like when all these sci-fi movies are coming out, all these movies are coming out. And when you listen to Kevin Smith talk about the making of Wild Wild West, and how they went to him to make to Superman, remember all that? Mm-hmm. It's called An Evening with Kevin Smith.
Ooh, that does look bad. I'm showing Reed the Hydra version of Captain America's costume.
That's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, when Kevin Smith talks about that, that's the example of all these producers that have all this money who know nothing about the fucking the genre as far as like, you know, comic books, Superman, all kinds of stuff. They don't know anything about it. And so when you have these morons that have this idea for something like this, they probably just do out there to test it and see what happens.
That's what they're doing.
And they got a huge backlash from this. I said, oh, no. Okay, let's get rid of this.
From people that have too weak of a stomach for something that...
Yeah. It's like, no, I can't. That's a betrayal of the, I guess, all American way, I guess. I don't know, in a way. It does look cool.
It looks cool. The costume looks cool, doesn't it?
Oh, fuck yeah. It looks like a... Yeah, it looks fucking cool, man.
But you might have been more interested. You would have been like, saying, I want
to
read this.
Yeah, but yeah, I would have liked to have read that, but it's like, how are they going to, you know, if it would have been just a comic book on a parallel universe, yeah, I would read that. But as far as it being part of the cinematic universe of Marvel, no, I don't think.
And you don't think this is adaptable for the current?
Because, well, have you seen Civil War, right, where he turns against Iron Man?
Yeah.
I was on Captain America's side the entire time.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the very end, I was like, you son of a bitch.
When you start to see this story.
That it was fucking, what's his name? Winter Soldier. Asshole, who killed Stark's dad.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, he's got to be put down, man. Fuck that.
You can't have this guy around.
You can't have him around. And that's in the very end.
Too much reliability.
Yeah, too much reliability. And that's when I jumped on Iron Man's side. I was like, fucking kill him, dude. He's got to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, fuck Captain America. I was like, fuck, sorry, dude. Mm-hmm. He's got to go. But now that they escaped, you know, and shit like that, which just makes it interesting.
You and your boyfriend have got to go.
Yeah, you're your boyfriend.
You're causing us too much drama.
Yeah, I'm on Iron Man's side, man. I from then on, I can't go back to Captain America, man.
Now he's training Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, number three. Agree or disagree with films like John Wick Chapter 2,
ooh,
Spider-Man Homecoming, speaking of Spider-Man,
good,
Star Wars, now titled The Last Jedi, the Lego Batman movie, The Mummy, and War for the Planet of the Apes. Is it already a guarantee, Reed Charles, that 2017 will be far superior to 2016 in the movie offerings?
Yes.
Based on those titles.
I agree.
Easy breezy?
Yes, easy breezy.
Which of these are you most excited about? The War of the Planet of the Apes?
War of the Planet of the Apes is definitely one.
John Wick Chapter 2?
Nah, not too impressed by that.
You like John Wick, though?
I like him, yeah. I like,
but not that much.
Not that much, no.
You working? I tell.
How good to see you again so soon, Mr. Wick.
But his have you seen his training? How he does all the training for the weapons? Fucking impressive, man.
Yeah, that's fun.
That kid's good.
Good fighting scenes in the John Wick movie.
Oh, yeah.
Spider-Man Homecoming?
Nah.
It's not your favorite superhero. Yeah,
I'll watch it, but...
You like the Marvel movies.
Oh, well, I want to get political. Hold on.
Well, no, go ahead. We're not going to be scaredy cats. We can talk about stuff here. Sit down.
Oh, man, this is not good. When you start thinking about the real world politics, like the what it is now, and who our president is, and now that kind of shit.
I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
That's huge news, Sarah.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was marriages. And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where they have some nice furniture.
Yeah, you're gonna have people pick sides and shit, right?
Yeah.
When you talk about real stuff, that the one thing I cannot stand, just shut up. You're an actor, shut up and dance, monkey. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be voicing your opinion on who you, what you should do or this kind of stuff. You go vote. Mm-hmm. You got to vote. That kind of crap. I don't like it, man. I don't like it when actors go political in the real world because it just fucking takes me out of their movie, man.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hate that.
About it as what they said.
I guess that's what it is. It really bothers me. It really fucking bothers me.
How does that apply to Spider-Man Homecoming, though?
Just because of Downey Jr. I'm a big fan of him, but him with that video he came out, I just really fucking turned me off.
I think I missed this. What was his video?
Well, the whole, this is just ugly shit. I fucking hate this. That's the reason why a lot of my friends have unfriended me or don't follow me, which, like, fuck them. I don't care.
He's very opinionated on the Facebook.
I don't give a shit. I don't apologize for shit. I'm a veteran, and I ain't got to fucking explain myself to nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you've, like I said before, I've sworn to defend the Constitution once, you know, and I know people have done it like three or four times because they're police officers. They re-enlisted in the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps. They're going to become police officers. They swore to defend the Constitution. I swore to defend the Constitution, and I believe in that. That's the real world. Anything that goes against that, you're a piece of shit to me.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't agree with me, that's your opinion. But I don't give a fuck what your opinion is, mm-hmm. because I swore to defend the Constitution. You didn't. Mm-hmm. All you did was pledge. That's all you did. Pledge. I pledge allegiance. That's all you fucking did. I swore to defend it. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference between when someone gets political and you give that shit to me, you have no fucking right to tell me anything about politics because you didn't serve. That's how I feel about it. Mm. And that even in a way, in a retarded kind of way, it's kind of like Super Troopers or Starship Troopers. Mm-hmm. You serve and then you volunteer in the military, mm-hmm. and you serve your country. Mm-hmm. And then you have a voice. You have a vote. Like I always say, the only people who have right to vote are veterans and landowners. That's why I always felt.
Yes.
I said that, right?
I don't agree with it, but I understand.
If you're a landowner, you understand responsibility. If you just rent a house or you rent an apartment, you don't have anything that belongs to you.
Now, I do think that dead people need to stop voting.
But that's the ugly side about politics. I don't agree. And anyone who fucking argues with me, I will tear him a new asshole because you have no right to tell me anything about politics because mm-hmm. you didn't serve, period. Mm-hmm. Unless you're a police officer, you're a veteran, you're a firefighter. Mm-hmm. I don't know about politicians. I don't know about that because I think, you know, to be a politician, you should have served the community first, then become a politician. Mm-hmm. That's kind of nationalist kind of thing, you know, that I'm thinking. But I think you should have a vote. You shouldn't have that mm-hmm. right to talk to shit to me because you didn't serve. That's the way I feel about it.
What did Robert Downey Jr. say in this video?
Well, in that video, he says, go out and vote. You need to vote. And we all know who they're voting for. We all know that.
Well, actually, you think you assume that Robert Downey Jr. is...
The whole crew. All of them are all voting.
No, he was... Some people have accused him of being more libertarian or conservative.
Okay,
or,
that's
or
cool.
Republican lean, because they did an interview with him a while back yeah. when he was promoting, I think, one of the Avenger movies. This was like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And they were trying to, the reporter was
trying to pin him.
Trying to pin him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't discuss it.
No. No, it's not advisable to do that because you're an actor, you're an entertainer. Mm-hmm. You're going to lose half your audience if you mm-hmm. say which side you're on. Mm-hmm. And I don't give a shit. I'm in a way, I can't say it either. I can't say anything because it's going to turn people away from us.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I have a right to say what the fuck I'm going to say. If it offends you, go fuck yourself.
I'm able to be wishy-washy because I've always rode in the middle.
That's fine. No, that's perfectly fine. But me, I'm going to voice my opinion, but because I serve, that's the reason why.
Well, and me, you know, me and...
That makes any sense.
Me and Bob the Neighbor. Mm-hmm. Just did a podcast, and this came up because we were talking about we were doing the year in review, and we both agreed that we kind of ride the middle,
libertarian,
and we were basically saying that, you know, I always consider myself to be independent. I voted all different directions mm-hmm. before.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
But we both agreed that we don't like this attitude where
Tell me who to fucking vote for.
Well, you're either on this side or that side, and if you're on this side, then you believe in all these
things. That's not true.
And then if you're on this other side, well, that's the attitude people have become.
I hate that, yeah. Because I don't want to give libertarian. I don't want to give liberals that they're all liberals are pieces of shit fucking retards. I will say that, but I don't think all of them are. The conservatives, the neocons, I think they're all fucking Nazi racist fucks. That's not true either. Mm-hmm. So there's
generalize.
You can't generalize.
Can't generalize. No. But there's a lot of that. People do that. They think, oh, well, if you're a Republican, you must be
fucking racist.
Or if you're a liberal, you must be a pinky socialist or whatever.
You never served military. Never done anything.
Yeah, so that's the thing I hate. And that's probably one of I've always felt kind of comfortable being independent and kind of in the middle.
It's a safe bet.
Because I can see things from both sides. Yeah. I see the bullshit. I can say this is bullshit.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Both sides.
This is bullshit too.
Yes.
And, but that's right. And I agree with that. And I don't agree with that.
But when it comes to actors telling you what this and that, I don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
Because all it's going to do is for me, it's like I don't want to ever go see a movie. Because most of these assholes uh-huh. are trying to tell me how to fucking vote.
I'll tell you where I go. I go, and I agree with you on this, and I get it. I get it why people get annoyed with actors giving their political views.
Shut your damn mouth and dance, monkey. I don't need to hear this shit. Dance, monkey.
And fuck your dreams.
And fuck your dreams.
But no, here's the thing. You know, when I used to watch late night TV, mm-hmm. late night talk shows,
yeah.
as a kid, you had Johnny Carson. And Johnny Carson always kind of... stayed away from criticizing, being overly political. It was escapism.
Smart.
Yeah. You for an hour of TV, you could watch.
Yes, exactly.
He treated everyone equally as nice or equally as fucked up. He insulted everyone equally. Made fun of everything. Mm-hmm. Made fun of everybody. No matter whoever was a standing president was, whether they were Republican or whether they were Democrat, he was going to make you look silly in his monologue. It didn't matter. He didn't have any, you know, he had friends on both sides of the aisle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but he kept his audience, both sides, loved Johnny Carson. Whether you were a Democrat or whether Republican, you loved Johnny Carson because you knew for an hour in the evening every day, you would get away from all the news and the bullshit and laugh at everything, and you wouldn't feel like you were being forced into one side's opinion. And then what happened was, and it was a brilliant show in its heyday, The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, very funny man.
I love him.
But that kicked the doors open, and then everybody started becoming. So now you watch these late night talk shows. You got Seth Meyers. And even David Letterman in his later years, and Jimmy Kimmel, they're always spilling out their
fucking goddamn view. Exactly. And they're trying to little droplets of shit in your mouth, and that's what they're doing.
They're all spilling out their opinions.
They don't fucking like that. It's
all pretty one-sided.
Yep.
And whether you are, if you're on that one side, great. But if you're not, I mean, you're what do you watch? And that's one thing I will say. Jimmy Fallon, he's a little bit kind of like...
In the middle?
He kind of tries to be in
I'm so like sick of that. I don't even watch these shows because of that. I don't want to deal with
it. They're comedy. It's comedy. It's fun. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, if you want to watch Meet the Press, if you're conservative and you want to watch Fox News, or if you're liberal and you want to watch MSNBC. But when you have, but it'd be nice before you go to bed, be able to turn on the TV. You have an hour of just, everybody can just be together and have fun.
Make fun of each other.
That's what Johnny Carson was.
Yeah, damn.
So you know, you have less and less of that nowadays. Everything has to be political.
One or the other. I don't like that, man. I don't like that at all.
And there's a place and a time and place for that. I do believe in getting that out there, and I believe in using different media sources to get that out there.
Oh, yeah. You have to use different media sources. But I think what really made things for people more, I guess, it empowered people was the internet. And so, I can go anywhere I want on the internet.
The last two elections, the last two people to be our president, the current standing president and the president before that, I believe their elections were won on the internet.
Oh yeah, I think so. Yeah,
you know, with social media.
And that's which is a scary thing, and is actually kind of a cool thing too.
It's kind of a cool thing because you can step through skip over the middleman.
You know the funniest tweet I saw that people were making fun of Trump. You know that one where he has a picture where he's like writing a speech, and people got like a piece of paper.
Oh yeah,
and it's like scribbles, and it's like this all written real retarded.
Yeah,
and it's like that's a speech, and I started laughing because I thought that was fucking hilarious when they did that. And that's the thing, you can make fun of everyone. You can make fun of it. No one is beyond approach, right? You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah,
everyone is susceptible to maybe make fun.
Well, yeah, definitely. And you know on the Thunderpop social media, I try to equally make fun of Trump, and and there's plenty of things to make fun of with Trump.
Yeah, a lot.
He's got that hair, and he's got the.
How is he going to keep in the 4 years or 8 years? There's no way his hair is still going to be blonde,
or 2 years or 1 year, depending on how things
go. He's kind of old. Yeah,
yeah. But
so anyway, we don't know how long his hair is going to stay that pristine. There's no way because every president,
it's a hairpiece.
Yeah, there's no way
he won't admit to it. But it's a stat. He has it.
That's ridiculous.
So I saw a documentary on this guy was going in to get. It's actually The Moaning of Life. It's a Netflix series.
Moaning of Life.
The Moaning of Life. It's a Netflix series, and he's an English guy, and travels around. And he was originally The Idiot Abroad was his original show, and now he's doing The Moaning for Life. And he's bald. So he did a thing where he went to a place where they could do the hair installs.
Oh God!
And it's about $3,500 a year. Jeez. Not that I was considering it myself. Not that I was crunching those numbers
myself. Don't know the price, huh?
You go to salon, you pick out the hair, and they install this, and it's impossible to take it off. Like it's on. It's like you can pull it, you can get in the pool, swim around, but you have to go get it redone every so many days.
Like a checkup.
Yeah, like a checkup. I think it's about once every 4 or 6 weeks you have to go get that replaced, get it swapped out with a new clean version.
What the fuck?
Otherwise, it starts looking a little nasty.
Wow.
It's like wearing the same shirt for so many days. It starts stinking. You got to get that. But the guy told me when he sat there, he said, I always tell people, first thing I tell them, if they're thinking about doing this, for guys who are thinking about doing this, that don't do it unless you have the you can afford it, because it's expensive. It's $3,500 a year is what it's going to cost you for the whole year to keep it.
Oh wow!
I mean, Trump, you know, of course, he's got
all the money.
I think he's got the $3,500 a year.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, we get back. Thoughts and advice for that bootay.
Staring back at you.
Now it's time for, you guessed it, thoughts and advice for that bootay. Okay, there's so much right now on the interweb that is bad news or negative news or fake news or ugly and people being mean and all the hatred and all the hate that's going back and forth on the web right now, whether it's politically driven or whether it's about the new Star Wars movie and people disagreeing with who's going to be the last Jedi. Whatever it may be, there's so much hatred on the web. People just spitting out hate on social media, on threads. So there's an app. Many of you probably have heard of it. Reed knows what I'm talking about. Tinder, where you can go on there and you can swipe yes and you can swipe no for potential mate. So I thought, well, why don't we have an app that is called Kinder, where you just go on there and the whole purpose of the app is just to compliment people. Say, you look nice today. I like your shirt. I like your hat. That is a really nice song. And so everything is positive. And if anything comes on there that has negative keywords or negative meaning to it, it gets flagged immediately. So you have the police ready to come in and swoop in and flag it. So basically the comments would have to be approved before they're even posted. So the hateful stuff wouldn't even be seen. I call it the Kinder app. Everybody just goes on there to be nice to everybody.
I just want to say, you know, can we all get along?
So Kinder, that's my suggestion for you app companies. A social media platform, an app that's just geared for people that want to get away from the news and negativity and the politics and Reed Charles on Facebook and his account.
Feed the Reed.
That's my thoughts and advice, is my pitch for an app. The Kinder app. And there you go. The more you know. The spice is still in my system.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still feeling the spice.
The cat shit.
The spice. The worm shit.
So juicy.
The spice.
So delicious.
Spice. All right, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Year, month, hour, century, millisecond, and whatever else you can think of along the way.
Peace out, bitches.
Spice, yeah, yeah.
Spice, spice, spice,
spice. Spice, spice, spice.
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 Spice. Spice. Spice.
Okay, I lied.
Thunder.
And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.